All right, Matt asked me to share something that I have learned as a mother. And I could probably write a book about all I've learned, and maybe someday I will. And it would include chapters like, oh, the mess. And this is not my idea of fun. And the definition of exhaustion. And oh, no, he didn't. And could they be any different? As well as, I couldn't be happier, and I couldn't be more proud. But since I only have 10 minutes, I will limit this to the beginning chapter entitled The Reluctant Mom. The lessons in this chapter of my life could probably be summed up in Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. When I tell the people that I am the mother of 5 beautiful children and the grandmother of 12, the usual response is, "You're so blessed." And it's true, I am. But I must confess to you that God had to teach that to me. You see, I grew up in a society that basically said that children are a fine heritage, but being a mother was not enough for a woman. It was a side job. Thus, I regretfully remember as a young girl one day saying to my stay-at-home mom, "I'm not going to be like you when I grow up. I'm going to do something much more adventurous and glamorous with my life, something more important." Now, though Christ became my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 7, and from that point on, I sought to know God more and to follow him, I was still an immature child full of folly, and God had much sanctification to do in my life. I think he knew how much, and that's why he saved me so early in life. As a teen, I worked diligently to develop my intellect, talents, and skills. And as God worked in my life each year, the more I desired to surrender those to him for service in his kingdom. I became convinced that God was going to use me in some fantastic ministry one day, probably as a single woman, and I wanted to be ready when he called. Well, his call came in my second year of college when he brought this handsome, godly, talented young man into my life who was convinced that God wanted us to be together. My reaction was to literally run from him. I did. Thankfully, Bill and God were more patient. And finally, God convinced me that this was his plan, that my ministry was to be joined to Bill's, and together we could serve his kingdom better than I could alone. So we married, finished college and seminary, and began our family, ready to go out and turn the world over for Christ. But God, in his sovereignty, opened one door for ministry, to help rebuild a very struggling church in a small town in Texas. My visions of this glorious ministry were soon redefined by God. It meant exhausting hours physically, mentally, and spiritually as we faced the enemy's discouragement. So I was convinced that the one child we had should be the only child we had. After all, I was younger than 30 and exhausted already. And struggling churches are not able to be very supportive financially. It wouldn't be fair to have other children. I was so reluctant that it took almost a burning bush experience for God to get my attention. One ordinary day, I felt God speaking to me, not verbally, but it was as powerful as if it had been, telling me that our son needed a sibling. As Bill and I prayed about this, we were convinced this was God's plan, and it wasn't long before our daughter Joy was born. When a year later, God moved us into our second church to minister, I was totally convinced that my time would be consumed by the work of a pastor's wife and mother of two. After all, at that time, the part of the verse about having a quiver full of children usually meant 2.5, meaning that if a third child were to be born, it would probably be a slip-up, and a strong, wise woman should take steps to keep that from happening again. On top of that, God had been speaking to us about homeschooling, which was not a very popular idea in the 80s. There were no vouchers provided to homeschool families, and our church was not able to provide much financially. Plus, God had impressed upon us from his word that we were to live debt-free. But again, by God's power, I submitted. But only a couple of months into our new ministry, I was surprised to find out I was pregnant with our third child. I was baffled, confused, maybe a bit angry with God. This could not be his plan. He did not talk to me about this first. After all, he needed me to help Bill at the church. Plus, that baby was due to be born the same month we were to begin homeschooling. How was I to do that with a toddler and a newborn? And our minimal health insurance would not cover the expense of any maternity care or childbirth. What was God thinking? Was I Mary, supposed to give birth to a child in a barn? Oh, I'm ashamed to confess to you how distraught I was. How much I cried and battled with the Lord about this precious gift. Like Jonah, I wanted to run from God's sovereign plan for my life. His plans were definitely not my plans, and I didn't like them. But as I wrestled with God, I read every scripture verse I could find to help me understand God's viewpoint. He showed me over and over in his word verses like Psalm 127, 3 through 5, and Matthew 6, that if we sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he would meet our other needs. I wrestled in tears with God for a month, knowing this was truly God's desire and gift for me, but unable to find peace with it. But it was me that needed to change, not his plans. Slowly, by his Spirit's gracious help, I accepted and welcomed this child. I began to see that God's ideas of what is great in his kingdom are far from what my ideas were. God began to show me there is no important work or greater honor than that of a mother, despite what the world or my foolish heart told me, and that a woman can receive no greater praise than that of her husband and children praising her for fearing the Lord, as Proverbs 31 says. Now, I have to admit, this was not a one-and-done deal for me. As God rewarded us with two more children, I constantly battled my own feelings of inadequacy, my fears for provisions, and the criticisms by others for continuing to have children. Some of those voiced from people in our family and churches, though I'm sure it was out of loving concern for us. After all, it was hard for us to understand God's plan. How can we expect others to understand? But thankfully, God blessed me with a godly, loving, and faithful husband. Bill was not only faithful to us, but his faithfulness to God was such an encouragement. Not only did Bill rejoice with every pregnancy and was willing to work extra jobs to support our family, Bill always chose God's word and God's spirit over any other person who tried to sway him otherwise, even if it meant that he might also lose financial support because of it. As the spiritual leader in our home first, and our church second, he taught us in words, actions, and attitude to trust God and his word. And God proved himself through us. I wish I could tell you all the stories he miraculously made sure that my children never went without food, shelter, clothing, education. All of them even have college degrees, and we remain debt-free. And never will I say that what God willed for our family is what he wills for every family. God is the definer of a full quiver. And sometimes he doesn't feel it with biological children, but with the spiritual children in the family of God. His plan and gifts are unique to each individual, and only he knows what is best for us. He changed our paths quite a few times over the years, and each change was a growth in faith, but never easy for me to accept at first. I learned also from this verse that what God gives, he also asks us to release back to him. Children truly are arrows to be launched, not to hold on to. Whether he gives them to us for a few weeks or months, 19 or 40 or 80 years. Today, all of my children are serving God's kingdom in unique and extraordinary ways and raising their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Some are close by, some are hours away, some are continents away. One grandchild is in heaven, and one is a week late coming out of the womb, which we hope will be today because on the way here we heard contractions were beginning. Though I was a stubborn, reluctant mother, I stand before you today as the most blessed of women. No, God wasn't being fair. He was being gracious and generous. Generous enough to give me gifts he had to almost force upon me, only because he is so loving and kind and knew what a blessing these children would be to us and his kingdom. And what treasures they are. What treasures all children are, no matter what origin or condition. I'm just so thankful that he knows what is good for us more than we do, and that God's power and love is so great that he changes our hearts so that we can follow his will.